BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rock.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand this is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks I found.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you gotta be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm gonna help you with this. We're gonna get to the bottom of it.
How? What?
I'm gonna borrow your pad. I'm gonna check out the rest of these.
Borrow the pad? That's
your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
The bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemorabiliaLanePromo.com. First and foremost, I think we need to say Happy New Year to everybody as well. We're back.
We are back and we are live tonight because, hey now, we're an all-star.
We are an all-star and we're both sober. That was not the case on New Year's.
No, one of us was not sober on New Year's, and the other sounded like they were drinking because the way they talked. Hi, everybody.
And, of course, if you don't know us by now, if you're just joining us, I am, of course, the host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my sober producer, Sir Rockin, because, well, I was not the one sober on New Year's Eve.
But I spoke like I was drunk. Good evening, everybody.
Yes.
We are going to have some fun here tonight live on the show. Because it's pro wrestling talk, and that's what we do for all of you.
Well, we do it for all of them, but we do it for us too, because, well, we just like to have fun.
We do like to have some fun on this show.
And, oh my goodness, speaking of pro wrestling, 2014 is kicking off with a bang, because, well, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got big news that broke in the last 2 weeks. Sorry, we were on vacation because, well, it was Christmas and it was New Year's. And, well, I got to go back home for Georgia, you know, for Christmas, so I wasn't doing a show. Sorry, guys, but I hope you liked the Christmas show.
We had a lot of fun doing the Christmas show, and apparently a lot of you enjoyed it as well. So, you know, we'll probably do one next year.
Yeah, Impact was pretty explosive tonight. Of course, we've got our discussions, including, well, the year in review, 2013. What are our best ofs? And, of course, the shocking revelation Monday night of Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatts. There's been a couple developments since Monday night, so we're going to get into them. But before we get to all that, we have our question of the night.
And our question of the night goes as follows. Who do you think will be the breakout star of 2014?
Mm.
People are sort of picking one person at the moment, based on the responses we've gotten, so it'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. So, but we'll get to that at the end of the show. But now we're going to kind of get into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at pwmania.com. That's right, PWMania for all your news needs. I don't know. They needed a tagline.
They just hired former WWE writer Andrew Goldstein. He's going to be writing a column on PWMania, so check that out when that comes up on the website.
That should be good, because doesn't he run the WWE creative-ish Twitter?
I am not sure who runs a creative-ish Twitter, but I know he's very active on Twitter, so he'll be an interesting read on PWMania.
Yes, absolutely, 100% agree. But, you know, kind of one of the biggest developments that came out in the last 2 weeks, because like I said, we were on vacation, and of course, you know, I go away for 5 days, and all hell breaks loose.
All right, hold on. She was on the plane as this happened.
I was. Literally. I was in the air when this happened. I land in Georgia. I turn on my computer in Georgia, and what is the first thing I see? Jeff Jarrett resigns from TNA. What the heck?
Yeah, the Chosen One is no longer with the company as of, well, today, I think, technically, or Monday, technically, it'll be his last day with the company. Yeah, it's a big story. The boys and girls in the locker room, they were caught off guard, and it's kind of like, we'll get to the other story in a minute, but Jeff Jarrett's the heart of and soul of the company for years. He's been the backbone of that company, and to see him walk away, it's very confuzzling.
Well, it's a big deal because, as you know, if you know your TNA history, you know, if you haven't watched it from day one,
take a shot.
Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Jarrett founded TNA together.
Apparently on a boat.
Yes, apparently on a boat. I believe it was Bob Ryder's boat, which should actually go into the TNA Hall of Fame. Take another shot.
Kayfabe it. Don't.
Yeah. Trust me, folks, we're full of it tonight.
Point being is, it's a big deal. He's the founder of TNA. This was his brainchild when WCW closed down. He got people together. He got backers together and started this promotion. And over the last few years, he's had a diminished role, but he still had a role with the company management side. After everything went down with Karen Jarrett, as it were now, he took a back seat because Dixie wasn't happy. Still, right. He was big with the Rock Hot King promotion in India, which was a TNA production. He had
right,
his
he
role
was,
in the company.
He was the backbone behind that, I believe.
Yeah, he had the genesis, the brainchild of that. He was worked for that company. He did all the deals for that company. It was a TNA company in India. So, and over the last few weeks, he was gaining more and more stroke.
He was. So this was a really kind of shocking thing because there were rumors that, you know, Jeff Jarrett was going to return to TV. You know, obviously Jeff Jarrett was working as an agent backstage. He was back on the road. He was getting more involved in the product again, whereas of, you know, everything that happened with Karen Jarrett and because of, you know, the last couple of years, he has sort of taken a back seat to the company. And, you know, Jeff Jarrett was obviously never the same when he lost, you know, very sadly lost his first wife. And I think part of that was he lost a little bit of an interest in TNA just because of how involved his first wife was
in the early days. She was a big factor in the company. So
yes, so I think, you know, so obviously he found happiness again and he remarried, and that because of the scandal around that, he was forced to take a back seat because Dixie wasn't happy, and now, you know, all of that has kind of died down. Bygones have been bygoned, you know, it's all water in the bridge, whatever, you know, cliche term you want to use. And Jarrett was coming back in, so this is a really kind of shocking thing that he would leave, especially considering the fact that he is still a partial owner. Now, it should be noted, he still does own a stake in TNA. He still does have his investment. Whether he retains that is still up in the air. There are a lot of questions from people wondering if he's going to get bought out, either by the Carters or by an outside party.
I think he will at some point. I think when it all becomes official this month, because it came around the holiday season, and right now TNA has taken the holiday season off, except for running some shows over the last weekend, but no one's really been in the offices to really do, you know, the paperwork for everything. I would assume he's getting bought out. That's just me, because it appears Jeff has other plans that he's not telling anyone, but Jeff Jarrett could be doing other things in the wrestling business coming up in this current year.
Yeah, there's some rumors surrounding that he might be doing other things, but that is all pure speculation and rumor. There's a lot of mystery surrounding this departure. Nobody knew it was coming. Or if people did know, there was a very select few. A lot of people were caught off guard.
Oh, a lot of people were definitely caught off guard. And it's one of those things, a lot of people still don't know the reason why. Jeff is keeping to himself. All industry insiders who've been trying to get the scoop haven't been able to get the scoop because Jeff's not talking. And with Jeff not talking, that means, well, he's the only one with answers, and when he's ready to talk, then we'll know the true story, and that'll probably come here in the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's something of he's keeping this to himself. Anybody that is in the know as to why Jeff Jarrett departed TNA, they are keeping it to themselves. The company wished him well, and that's really all that's been said, and probably will be said, at least from TNA's side of things, as far as this situation goes. But yeah, this is a developing story. We're going to keep our eye on it. We're going to, you know, sort of just watch it, because I think there's more. There is obviously more to this than what we're getting.
Yeah, there definitely is. And when you look, if you think you're a talent in that company, there's a lot of thoughts in your head going, do I want to stay? Do I want to go? Jeff always said he would be there for them. And now that he's gone, is it a place to stay for people?
Yeah, it's something of they've taken a lot of hits morale-wise as far as, you know, people getting cut, pay decreases, obviously them going back off the road and going back to Orlando, at least temporarily, suspension of shows. You know, there's a lot of rumors about TNA's financial status. Obviously, the loss of AJ Styles was huge to the company, as he's been there since day one. He's the guy that's carried the company in that sense, very clear message that, well, AJ, you know, if we're willing to let AJ go, we're willing to really let anybody go. And now Jeff Jarrett is gone. And there's some speculation about AJ and Jeff as well, which we're going to get into here, that, you know, goes to show that, well, maybe it isn't a place that the talent wants to stay. And I hate to say that, but it's like the writing's kind of becoming apparent on the wall.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things where you see the writing and you just don't know any longer.
Yeah, it's something of you want to believe TNA is going to be okay, but at the same time, you have to look at everything that's going on and you kind of have to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So, but speaking of AJ...
Yeah, speaking of AJ Styles, he's found some work.
Yes, he has. You know, as we saw, he showed back up on Impact tonight, which we'll get into. But, well, AJ appears to be completely done with TNA as of the conclusion of all the pre-taped stuff. We won't tell you how that happened, but AJ has basically, it seems that negotiations with TNA have fallen through completely. They're done, as AJ is now appearing for Ring of Honor.
Yes, AJ Styles is a free agent in every sense of the word right now, and has an open contract with a lot of places. He's going to be wrestling in a lot of different areas, and one of them is Ring of Honor. He's returning to Ring of Honor. Actually, this Saturday night, of all places, at the Nashville Fairgrounds for a TV taping for Ring of Honor.
That's not a slap in the face at all.
That's just, you know, it's just very convenient. That's where their TV taping was, and that's where he's showing up. He'll be taking on Roderick Strong on that TV taping, which will set to air in February.
It'll be a good match. But yeah, it's something of, huh, okay. That's very carefully timed, if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, because the contract negotiations fell through over the last week or so, and then he went with Ring of Honor because they're a stable company right now. They have a television company owns them, and they're very stable, and he can go there, wrestle guys. He's wrestled in the past, but hasn't wrestled in years, and he can wrestle a bunch of new guys, and that's what he's going to be doing a lot in the next few months. He's going to give the people what they want to see.
Yes. And one has to wonder if Jeff Jarrett's departure from TNA has something to do with AJ Styles' negotiations falling through.
It might be. He might have figured, well, Jeff's no longer going to be there. Why should I stick around right now when they're not treating me the way I want to be treated? I can go make the money I can make elsewhere to support my family, because that's the deal. He's doing this for his family. He wants his goal.
Hey! Wait, hold on. Jim Ross! Ross sighting!
Hey, there he is!
Sorry. Anyway, continue.
They actually announced him on television. That's kind of cool.
JR.
They did. The WWE Hall of Famer, Jim Ross, broadcast announcer. That's what they called him. How about that? Jim Ross. Yeah, there was a tweet I saw a few minutes ago. Someone tweeted Sean a picture of Jim Ross on the sideline before. That's kind of cool. Toby Keith. Hey, it ties in. Toby Keith, rumor TNA buyer, and Jim Ross. There's your wrestling tie-ins on the football game. We tie it all together. AJ's doing this for his family. He doesn't want to be a guy wrestling into his 40s and have injured knees and injured, you know, back and all that stuff. He wants to get out while he can still play with his children and walk. So these next 2 years are going to be big for AJ Styles, and he's going to take every opportunity to make him impactful.
Yeah, and you know what? That's completely fair. You know, he doesn't want to work a heavy schedule, which was what TNA was headed for, so it's completely understandable that he wants to take a step back, and he wants to be with his wife and his kids.
Right, and I will say this, the original plan, and if things, you know, change, it could happen, but at this point it's not going to. When they were negotiating the contract, AJ Styles was supposed to return to the company in England. So, yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens with AJ Styles. But it'll be intriguing to see him go back to Ring of Honor. Because right now, they, besides AJ Styles, they also have Chris Hero.
Yes, they do. That's the other big signing for them.
I'm going to just break in with news right now. Because I just saw it on Tumblr and we're going to go with it. Because I just confirmed it. 2 hours ago on Twitter, it's an early tweet of the week. From Bray Wyatt. He has a home, 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 hashtag run.
What?
That's the tweet.
Okay, I have to go see this, hold on.
He has a home. Yeah, that's been repeated about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, a bunch of 10 times at least. Hashtag run.
Oh, Bray. Why?
We'll get into that later in the show.
You know what? No, hold on. I have to respond to this.
Alright, as you respond to that, in other news, we're unfortunately passing along some sad news, as it were. Mae Young has taken ill. She was scheduled to be a part of Old School Raw this Monday, but will not because of her health. She is back home currently, is able to speak, which is a good sign.
Yes.
But the days sadly might be up for Mae Young. She is 90 years old at this point, and she's under hospice care, so we hope that she recovers, and we send our condolences and best wishes to her family at this time.
Yes, best wishes and prayers for Mae Young. You know, she's an icon in wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan and you don't know who Mae Young is, in some context, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Go Google her. She is a pioneer for women's wrestling. She has influenced many of the major female wrestlers, if not all. She's an icon in WWE. She's a Hall of Famer. She gave birth to a hand.
Who's all grown up? Remember this. The hand is a grown hand now.
Yes, the hand is a grown hand now, and hopefully the hand is with her. But, you know, she's a hero of mine. I don't know how you cannot like Mae Young. Her and Moolah's stints were amazing, and so I would hope and pray that Mae does make a recovery. This is really sad news, because honestly, I can't picture wrestling without Mae Young.
Yeah,
she's just too amazing.
Yeah, she is. In other news, Matt Stryker has been cast in the Star Wars Equinox: The Night of Time television film. What role he has is unclear, but he has been cast, which is a cool thing. Matt Stryker getting work. He's, you know, branching out after leaving WWE.
I hope he's not going to play a Romulan. Go for the Klingon, dude.
There you go. That's the word of advice from Lindsay Ward. And one other final piece of news this evening, courtesy of The Rock via Twitter. He was doing Rock Talk the other day and basically told everyone what the original plan for this year's WrestleMania was. It's kind of intriguing. Where was going to be Brock Lesnar versus The Rock this year at WrestleMania? And that sort of has fallen through. The idea was between him, Vince, and Brock. They kind of knew the plan after last year's WrestleMania. But once The Rock sort of backed away and got hurt, it sort of went out the window, as it were. Because, well, let's see. The Rock has a busy schedule, and WWE just didn't want to go in that direction, which is a shame in one way, but at the same time, always means coming up. WrestleMania 31, the door is still open, and that's where The Rock left it. The door is open for 31. Could we see Brock and Rock there?
We could. We completely could. And, you know, that leaves the door open for WrestleMania 30 as far as some very interesting matchups, and there are rumors coming out about WrestleMania 30 as far as who's getting who and who's going to be doing what. And
yeah, we all had this clear plan on Monday. We knew the plan. And then today the curveball was thrown in there because somebody's requesting somebody. And maybe it's a last-minute curveball into things.
Seems a certain dead man wants a certain goat.
It came out of nowhere today. The report came out. It's like, well, I'll be damned. That's interesting.
You know, I'd just like to point out, as far as that report goes, which basically stated that people are concerned with the way that Brock works, that he's probably not going to be good for Taker's health. Called that.
She's been saying that for a year.
Yeah, like months now. And basically, you know, Taker has been working his matches out prior to Mania to where they actually run the match several times to get it right, so that way he's good to go when the show starts, and they work everything out in secret, so obviously nobody knows what's going to happen, but still that takes up a massive amount of time on his opponent's part, and there's a lot of concerns with the company that Brock just is not going to do that. And so it's something of, well, if Brock is not going to show that level of dedication, then they're going to find somebody that will.
And when you think dedication, you think the goat.
Well, it opens up quite a few doors, which we can get into a little bit later as far as Daniel Bryan, especially where he's headed, with the Wyatt family, and, well, will the Wyatt family potentially steer Daniel Bryan in that direction? Because the other rumor that came out that we kind of need to discuss really quickly, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt at 30.
At 30? What? No. Yes? Maybe. There's so many rumors right now. Hell, I saw a rumor that it's going to be John Cena with Hulk Hogan. John Cena with Hulk Hogan in his corner versus Bray Wyatt. John Cena and Hulk Hogan versus the Real Americans. Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper versus the Real Americans. These WrestleMania rumors, until we actually know what the hell's going on, they're rumors, but as a plans, it seems like John Cena and Bray Wyatt could be a plan. And I've kind of been teasing this, and I will probably get into it a little bit later more. What is John Cena the Machine?
He could very well be.
Because if you think about it, we'll get into it really quickly now. Who's that face of that company that you want to take down? Who's been the one really standing in Daniel Bryan's way besides the Authority? It would be John Cena, the face of the company, the Machine, the workhorse. It's possible.
It's completely possible, yes. I would agree, but we'll just have to see. And we'll get more into that later, because, yeah, we plan this discussion and then things like this come out, and it's like, oh my.
It's like, here's a curveball for you. Just when you thought you knew the answers, they changed the question.
Right? Good Lord.
By the way, a quick score update. It's 38-24. Oklahoma Sooners. Go Boomer Sooners.
Yep. Alabama, come on. Y'all got to catch up.
Yeah, they got to catch up, but it ain't going to be Roll Tide like everybody thought.
Nope. Apparently not. But on that note, I say we roll on into our first break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact, including the coronation of one Magnus. And, well, all the other New Year shenanigans that happened. So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
In case you missed this is what happens when CB Radio throws a party.
You guys ready? We got 21 of these for Will, or there's hope that.
Are we gonna do the 21 shots for him?
I think 21 guys, gun salute.
So you guys are gonna go over. I'll be giving myself a 21 wink salute.
So didn't need to hear that.
I'm good. Okay, note to self, don't shake head. Quick, let's get these shots going.
So at what point are we betting at what shot each just falls out?
I'm not gonna fall out. You also have to remember, I'm Irish.
I barely have 17 to it.
I got 3 more shots left. So...
No, your 21 should just be one big shot. Just gulp it.
19, 20, and 21. A triple shot.
Wait. So you want me to quadruple shot it because it's a fucking good luck shot?
No, not quadruple.
Yeah, quadruple shot it. Oh my god. That was a lot of fucking alcohol. I made it to the 20... fucking one gun salute with the one for good luck.
How many people did I get wasted tonight?
Oh, here comes
my dad. Oh, God.
There's your horse, Your Honor. Only turned 21, pal.
Keep in mind, Will, this is all for you.
Well, Jabber almost fell down his steps, so...
Only the landing. I got down all the steps you see, but the landing confused me. Because it has that turn.
This is how we party on TV radio.
Sick.
Yeah. I think I just here.
That was Jabber. Hey. Rob, that was Jabber who just threw
that.
That was Jabber.
Oh, even worse.
Ew, the bonder looks disgusting.
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Beer!
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And yes, it's been so long since I've heard that music.
Beer.
A whole 2 weeks.
Beer, money.
Money. That's right, folks. That was one of the many surprises that we had tonight on Impact, which, of course, is brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And we're just going to jump right into it because, well, a lot of things have happened since 2013. Not really. But since this was the first Impact of 2014, it opened up with Kurt Angle saying that, well, 2013 was a whirlwind of a year, you know. Whether it was his feud with the Aces and Eights, which of course took its toll on his body, to his personal issues, you know, it just wasn't the best year for Kurt Angle, and that's mainly why he declined the TNA Hall of Fame induction. He wants to be worthy of the honor, and he thought he would earn that back, but well, didn't quite happen the way he wanted. You know, Angle then says that, well, he's called a cyborg, but in 2013 he wasn't that, and Angle then wants to let us know what he has planned for 2014. Except, well, he sort of got interrupted.
Yeah.
By one Bobby Roode, who was positively giddy.
Yeah, he was. And let's take a listen to what Bobby Roode had to say.
Hold on a second. Time out. Am I hearing this right?
I mean, am I about to witness? Are we about to witness what I think we are about to witness right now? This is great. This is great. Kurt Angle, did you come out here to tell everybody that you're going to walk away? That you're going to leave Impact Wrestling just like Jeff Hardy did last week? Is that what you're going to do? Huh? Have you finally come to the realization that after months of me beating you time after time after time, have you finally realized that you just don't have what it takes anymore? Because, I mean, if you are going to walk away, do me a favor, Kurt. Stand here in the middle of the ring and look me in the eyes and tell me face to face that the it factor of professional wrestling, Bobby Roode, is better than you.
Listen, Bobby, I'm not leaving. I'm here to make it perfectly clear that Kurt Angle's going to kick ass in 2014. Which is why I'm challenging you to one more match. What? What? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? One more match! One more match!
Absolutely not! I have absolutely, absolutely nothing to prove to these morons, and I sure as heck have nothing to prove to you. I have proven that I can beat you time after time. I have proven that I'm better than you. Most of all, I have proven to the world, Kurt Angle, that you are not Hall of Fame worthy. You and I are done. Unless maybe I accept this challenge. Maybe I accept one more match. But in this match, Kurt, you put something on the line. Yeah. How about not if, but when I beat you again? You leave. But most importantly, you never, ever accept a Hall of Fame induction here at TNA.
I'm glad you accept. The match will take place in Huntsville, Alabama at Genesis. But since you had a stipulation, I have one myself. It's going to be Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode in a steel cage.
What? For Kurt Angle, a true Hall of Famer, Genesis is going to be huge.
You and me. You want me in a cage? Genesis, you and me. You're on.
There you have
it, sir.
Big man. But now Kurt's got to prove himself.
Well, I mean, listen, as history shows, I mean, Kurt...
Whoa, wait a minute.
So Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode brawled and then was separated, as the segment was starting to wrap up. So they brawled all around a little bit. And then out from the back, as the referees broke him up, came Rockstar Spud.
What the hell, Spud? What is he doing here?
He's the chief of staff. Whoa! That's what the chief of staff is doing here.
There goes the chief of staff. Knocked
on his butt.
Hey! Stop this! You will not ruin this night!
You will not ruin this night! This is Madame Dixie Carter's night! Okay, if you want to fight, and you want to fight so bad, then both of you get yourselves a partner each, and you can fight it out in a tag match later tonight! This is Dixie Carter's night!
Taz, you were right. Yeah. We don't have to wait until Genesis.
So Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle need partners.
They do need partners, but Bobby was just fantastic in this.
Bobby was good. Well, Bobby was good. Strong open.
Very, very strong open indeed.
As they look to sell things once and for all.
So Genesis already building a steel cage and everything.
And that will be live in 2 weeks.
We'll be live in 2 weeks, and we'll be here to cover it. But after this, we see Dixie Carter backstage. By the way, Spud, don't call her Madam. That means something different here in America. Just pointing that out.
But it's not. He's talking like he's in the United Kingdom. It'll make sense in a month.
Oh, it makes sense. It completely makes sense. But it's, you know, to call her Madam, if you don't know what that is, that's basically a female pimp. Sorry, that's where my mind went.
Anyway.
Yeah, don't do that. Anyway, speaking of Madam Dixie Carter, she's backstage hyping Magnus's coronation. You know, then they cut and she walks away and, well, she gets a note from a backstage person. You know, and it says, see you soon, but it's not signed. And Dixie wants to know, well, where did it come from? And all the guy says is it came from a courier. So, you know, well, she wants to know where Spud is. And the guy tells her, and so she walks off to find Spud.
Interesting. A note. I'll see you soon. What could that possibly mean?
I wonder. Yeah, I think we all know what it means. But anyway, moving on, we come back from break, and Spud, you know, Spud is with Dixie. Basically, Dixie demands that Spud find out where the note is, you know, where the note came from.
He should ask the scientist. The scientist might know. He could read. Mm-hmm. He could read the DNA.
He totally can.
Because Eric Young, y'all, is a scientist.
He is. He's an expert.
He is an expert scientist. He's figured this whole Joseph Park thing out, so.
Yeah, if you want to see more of his scientific work, catch out Off the Hook Extreme Catches Animal Planet. It's awesome. And listen to our interviews with him about Off the Hook Extreme Catches on Animal Planet.
Live on RockRadioShow.com.
Ding! Up next, we cut to the ring where Gail Kim is waiting. You know, basically, she gloats about the open challenge. She gloats about her year in 2013 and how amazing it was and how, you know, 2014 is going to be so much better. And she only hopes that they can find her a good opponent for 2014 and at least start the year out. Because, well, the other opponents, for at least for her open challenge, just weren't up to par. Still waiting for Lady Tapa to turn because it looks like it might be coming soon, unless that's just her normal grimace.
I think it's her normal grimace.
Okay. And after this, we have Madison Rayne interrupt. She comes down for a match with Gail Kim. Gail was not happy about it in the least.
Gail was not happy. Gail did not want to fight Madison Rayne. The queen,
she didn't.
The queen bee is back.
And I'm so happy to see her.
Can you do the wave?
I can do the wave.
Sweet.
I can totally do the wave. But yes, Madison Rayne is back, Lady Tapa. And Rayne did have a stare down before the match. And then, well, Madison kicked things off with a crossbody to start a very good, very competitive match between the two.
It's a good match. Good match. You could see Madison's Rayne is working back into form. They had a really good match. And, once again, unable to eat defeat, Madison Rayne picked up the victory on Gail Kim.
She did, yes. And that we all know what that means.
That's two now. That's two.
Well, no. Was it this part of the open challenge?
No, but that's two wins. Two wins.
Oh, it's totally two wins, but she beat Gail one-on-one.
So that could mean title shots are coming.
Yeah, Gail said, if you beat me in the open challenge, I'll give you a title shot. Well, Madison Rayne.
Just beat her.
Just beat her fair and square.
So come Genesis. Possibly.
Possibly. Maybe.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see, yeah.
Yeah, so Genesis again heating up. Afterwards, well, we see Chris Sabin backstage with Velvet Sky. And basically, you know, she's trying to talk to him and he tells her that, you know, he doesn't want her to, you know, tell him what to do. He needs her to listen. Because after last week, after he was embarrassed, he's not going to stand for that again. And he says that either she will do what she's told,
or
she's going to find another ride home.
Interesting there. The interesting little tension between Velvet and Mr. Sabin.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. So, what does Chris want Velvet to do? Well, we'll have to wait and see. Because after this, we come back from break and Kurt Angle's talking to Gunner. Basically, Kurt sweet-talks Gunner into being his partner. Storm then interrupts saying that, you know, them being partners is interesting. So, Storm is not happy.
It would be interesting, yeah. It would be interesting.
Would be interesting, yes. And then, well, we find out what Chris Sabin wanted Velvet Sky to do because, well, she helped him defeat one Austin Aries to regain the X Division title in a very good contest.
This matchup was better than the matchup they had about a month ago when Austin Aries won the belt. They had a really good chemistry in this one, and the finish basically was Velvet reluctantly stood on the apron and basically said to Aries, I'm sorry, and then, well, here's a shot to the crotch, and then boom, into a small package. 1, 2, 3, your new X Division champion of the world, Chris Sabin.
Yes, and Velvet was absolutely beside herself. She did not want to make the assist, but, well,
she did what was best for her relationship.
Yes, she did, and she was upset. They interviewed Sabin after the match. He said, I want to thank the one person who made this possible. Velvet thought she was going to get the thanks. And, well, no. Sabin thanked himself before he yanked Velvet Sky up the ramp.
I want to bring up something. Chris Sabin needs new gear. It doesn't fit his persona right now. And it looks kind of very indie-ish. I'm just
pointing out. Yeah, I would agree.
I'm just pointing that one out. I know what he's going for, it just doesn't work. I know he's trying to cover up the knee braces and such. Maybe go for full-on long tights. Maybe. But the shorts are not working. The board shorts are not working. Especially with a really long string hanging out.
Yeah.
It was not... It wasn't looking any good.
Yeah, he does need new gear. I would agree with that. 100%. So, and I would like to point out who mentioned the fashion. Just, you know, again, pointing that out.
I'm not even going to make a comment.
Hey, you know what? You're the one that brought up the gear.
I did, because it looked bad. What do you want from me? When I notice something looking bad, I'm going to bring it up, okay? That part of the brain went there, okay?
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to catch the ball, dude. Anyway, moving on. After the match, Spud gets a hang-up call, and, well, it's from a 678 area code.
Now, Lindsay, you're an area code expert. Where is 678?
678 would be, well, Georgia.
Huh. It's Georgia. Who
could it be one of the friends that Spud made while he was in Georgia?
Maybe. Maybe it could have been that one real friend he made in his last visit in Georgia.
It could be. It absolutely could be.
Hmm.
But speaking of making friends, and speaking of, you know, starting off fresh in the new year, we see the debut of one Samuel Shaw. Who needs better music? I'm sorry. He's being all creepy and stuff, and he's got like this surf, like 1960s surfer guy type music. Doesn't work.
Just for the record, you can see who's pointing out the music.
It's not the same as a guy pointing out fashion.
But she pointed out the music.
The white pants can go too. How about that?
See, now who's picking on the fashion?
You know what? You don't wear white after Labor Day. Somebody needs to tell that to Bray Wyatt too, okay?
But it's his style, man.
Yeah, no, honey. You don't wear white after Labor Day, okay? You just don't.
But when do you
wear your winter white?
There's something called winter white?
There's something called winter white. I'm actually wearing winter white right now. Sort of an off-white, kind of like an eggshell.
Okay, see, now here's the difference. I just said shorts look bad. She's now talking about winter white. I feel better about myself now.
You asked!
I'm just saying, I feel better. I didn't know anything about winter white.
See, you learned something.
I do learn something. Usually every single day when we talk. Usually about something creative.
See? I'm educating the boy.
I am getting
he can
my,
be taught.
I am getting my education from a Lindsay Ward.
Well, speaking of an education, Samuel Shaw gave an education to one Norv Furnum.
Hey, it's Norv.
Yay, Norv. Where was Dewey? Dewey needs to come out and root for his buddy.
Well, his buddy didn't really last long. He kind of got destroyed.
Yeah, he did. Norv sadly got destroyed by one Sam Shaw. Again, we saw him glancing over to Christy Hemme every chance he got, being all creepy-like.
He has a fascination with Miss Hemme.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really creepy fascination.
He's kind of interested in her. He kind of wants her.
Okay. All right, continue. Should not be on Tumblr at the moment. But anyway. Continue.
Oh, God. What's going on Tumblr?
Nothing. Continue. Continue on.
Anyway. Backstage, we see Storm. You know, he's not surprised about Gunnar's actions. But it's always the same with Storm's partners. They always change. Have you ever considered maybe you're the one changing, James?
Maybe.
Yeah. Sounds like such a bad breakup.
Yeah, it does.
Because, well, that's all he's ever had is bad breakups with his partners. Anyway, Storm says that, you know, he's going to show Angle basically why picking Gunnar was a mistake. He then walks into a locker room and says, just the person I was looking for.
Right. So, yeah. Now you see why I left.
Yeah, now I see why you left. Oh, Tumblr. What a wonderful place.
Hey, shout out to the people listening on Tumblr. Hi.
Yes. Shout out to the people listening on Tumblr. Shout out to the people listening to us on WildTalkRadio.com. And shout out to the people listening to us on PWMania.com. Thank you so much for listening to us.
And TNA Asylum, the haven for TNA fans.
Yes. So, well, after the break, we find out who Storm is talking to backstage because Bobby's ranting and raving about Genesis, you know, and then he's got to worry about this match tonight and finding a partner, and he has a couple people in mind, but he wonders why Storm wants to be his partner, and Bobby also wonders if he can trust Storm. Storm then, you know, goes, you have a trust problem with me? You know, if you know how that breakup went, well, Storm's the one with the trust issues, and Storm still has the trust issues.
Yeah.
You know, basically Storm doesn't know if he can trust Bobby, but he needs to be out there. Bobby then, you know, basically gets up and tries to refuse Storm. Storm gets in his face and says, well, he's going to be out there one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether he's Bobby's partner or he's just out there to kick everybody's ass, including Bobby's.
And when Storm said that to Bobby, well, Bobby thought, well, might need to trust this dude one more time.
Yeah.
To Just pointing that one out there.
Yes, definitely just pointing that one out there. You know, trust issues, yeah. You know, might want to set them aside tonight because Storm's got his eyes on somebody else and it's not you, Bobby. After this, we get a Magnus recap on his road to victory. And then, ladies and gentlemen, it happened. We have Angle and Gunner taking on Bobby Roode, and wait for it. Yes, that's right, folks. James Storm.
You mean this?
Beer! Money!
That's right. It was a Beer Money reunion. It was one night only, and no, there was no Boozer Cruiser, and no, there was no Beer Money in the middle of the match. But we see Bobby Roode and James Storm reunite one more time, and yes, folks, the magic happened again as Beer Money proved themselves to be one of the best tag teams ever as they picked up the victory over Angle and Gunner.
Good match. Really good match between the four gentlemen involved. You saw the chemistry is still there between Bobby and James. You saw a nice double teamwork between the two. And I loved the super kick spot when Roode was up in the gun rack. Storm hit the super kick on Gunner right to the jaw. And then Roode hit whatever this new move he has, the reverse DVD type move he's doing these days, to get the win for Beer Money.
Yes, and after the match we saw things break down a little bit. Angle went for Roode. And Roode was able to get away. And I think that's everything that happened.
Yeah.
At least that was the main bit. And then I actually believe there was a stare down between Storm and Gunner.
Things are picking up between Storm and Gunner, too. This whole tag team thing is sort of starting to phase and fall apart between the two. Bitter feelings.
Yeah. I would agree with that. You know, there are issues. There are serious issues going on. So look for those to be settled, potentially at Genesis.
Quite possibly. And that whole contract thing may be involved.
Could be. Will Storm get his title shot? We'll have to see. But after this, backstage, Rockstar Spud. He's walking along. Or I should say Sting is walking along backstage, and well, Rockstar Spud runs up chasing him down, and basically Spud accuses Sting of sending the note to Dixie. Sting says he didn't do it, and he's not here to basically talk to Spud or Dixie. He's here to talk to Dixie's lapdog. So does he mean Magnus? Or, well, does he mean somebody else?
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see, because up next is one Ethan Carter III.
EC3.
Basically, they recap Jeff Hardy walking out on TNA last week, and then Carter challenges Hardy to a match, which, of course, Hardy doesn't show up to because, well, he's not there.
Nope. Hardy's gone,
so... You know, what does Carter try to do? He tries to win via countout, where he makes them ring the bell, and then Carter proceeds to start to count him out. He gets to about 8 when Sting's music hits.
Before you continue, I love Taz going, Hardy, Hardy, Hardy.
Right? Like, you know, that's totally going to make a difference, Taz. Totally going to make a difference.
Hey, he was trying to be one of the fans in Orlando. Hardy, Hardy, Hardy. Taz was fantastic. Continue.
He really was. It's like, I'm going to motivate him to come out by cheering for him because, yeah, that always works.
Continue.
I don't even know where to go from there. After this, anyway, Sting comes out. Basically, he calls Carter every variation of a dog except for the curse word version of a dog. And then he demands that Carter prove himself that he's a man like Jeff Hardy and Sting himself. Carter says, you know, he's not going to be manipulated. And he tries to leave. But before he can go, Sting proceeds to hurl more insults. There are lapdog chants. There are dog chants.
Dixie's lapdog. Dixie's lapdog. Dixie's lapdog.
I mean, the fans were chanting anything and everything tonight, which is a good thing. And a bad thing. But mainly a good thing because they were into the show. Carter then takes insult and, you know, he agrees. You know, he will fight Sting. And we all think it's going to be tonight. The crowd goes wild.
Woo-hoo!
And then Carter goes at Genesis.
Boo.
With a smile. So you can expect that he's going to go talk to Aunt Dee, and Aunt Dee is going to give him something in his favor. Just putting that out. Backstage, we see EY and Park, Joseph Park talking. You know, Joseph isn't sure about all this, you know. Eric's done a great job of proving that he's Abyss, but, well, Joseph blocks out. He doesn't remember. It's all fuzzy. So he doesn't believe, you know, EY when he says that he is Abyss.
Yeah, if you missed last week's show, we kind of sort of... Joseph Park found his inner Abyss, as it were, and really led it into bad influence last week. Because it's the science... in the scientificness of Eric Young worked. He even played the music.
He did. Absolutely, he did. Anyway, you know, and Joseph's also not sure about the match with Bully. Why would Eric do that to him?
Well, why would he?
Well, it's the 2-year anniversary of when Abyss went missing, when Bully Ray and Abyss fought.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago at Genesis, I believe. I think. Either Final Resolution or Genesis, when Joseph
Genesis.
Park... Genesis. So when Joseph Park disappeared. Or Abyss disappeared, rather. And Joseph Park came on the scene looking for his brother. You know, Abyss.
Abyss, yeah. So, you know, sometimes you have to go back to the root of the problem. You have to go back to the beginning. And, well, that's what EY's doing. So he put Joseph in a match with Bully Ray in hopes that that would snap Joseph out of it. Make him realize that he is, in fact, Abyss. And just to make sure that's going to happen, EY says that Joseph is completely on his own. We then see Emo Bully Ray... in his hoodie, standing creepily behind Joseph Park, and basically he tells Joseph it's not in his best interest to come to the match, that, you know, Joseph doesn't want to suffer for Ken Anderson's sins. You know, basically he makes very veiled threats until he tells Joseph, you know, basically, if you come to the ring, I will light you on fire.
Fire! 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 Fire!
So we're getting to that point, y'all, where Bully Ray is setting people on fire.
Fire! Fire! Fire!
After this, you know, we see Bully Ray versus, well, Joseph Park. And Bully just kind of stood there. And stood there. And stood there.
Did nothing.
Did nothing until Joseph got close enough, and then, well, Bully kicked him in the nuts.
Ow!
And as Joseph writhed in agony on the mat, the ref called for the bell, and Joseph Park wins via DQ against Bully Ray. But that was not the conclusion. Nope, Bully then pulls out a thing of lighter fluid. He proceeds to soak Joseph with it, including spray it in his eyes. Followed by that, he pulls out a lighter.
Oh, no.
He's kind of serious about that lighting you on fire kind of thing, Joseph. But thankfully, Mr. Anderson comes out, and he makes the save for Joseph. But, well, Anderson can't get away unscathed as Bully once again hoses him down with lighter fluid. That's a very, very, very full can. And then Bully takes the lighter, and he lights it up, and he holds it out. You know, basically threatening to light Mr. Anderson up. But, well, the two have a confrontation, they stare each other down, but ultimately Bully just decides to leave.
I wanted to see someone get set on fire.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Why do I have the funny feeling this is going to lead to, like, some kind of inferno match or something?
Or a flaming tables match. A Dudley Boy specialty.
Oh, dear. This just got scary.
Either a tables match. It might be just a tables match, or someone gets set on fire.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a flaming table involved in some capacity. Which makes me very nervous. And then after this, we come to your main event of the evening, which was Magnus' coronation.
Basically, you had EC3 and Spud, you know, suck up the Dixie a little bit for a while. And then they brought out Dixie. And she talked up Magnus a bunch. And, you know, it's been a long time since she's had a champion she can be proud of. And, well, now she hasn't in Magnus.
She does. She does. They then proceed to bring out Magnus. And he cuts a nice little promo basically on, ooh, wait, hold on. Alabama fumble, Oklahoma score.
Game, set, match.
Yeah. Yeah. Good God, he dropped the ball before they ever knocked it out of his hands. Yeah. That's going on the highlight reel.
Yeah, highlight reel. Yeah, he hit him. Oh, yeah, he hit him right in the arm. How about that? But yeah, Magnus basically came out, thanked Dixie Carter. You know, Magnus called her the wind beneath his massive wings. He raised up the belt. Said he has mixed emotions because he is honored and humbled. Magnus said he can't shake the thought that people thought. People thought Bobby Roode, Kurt Angle, even Jeff Hardy would be standing here as a world champion. Somebody thought James Starr.
Hey, you know what? I said Magnus, probably, and reserved the right to change my pick because I went with my heart. So shut up. Mister, I picked Bobby Roode to win the whole damn thing.
I did. I won't lie. I won't lie. I picked Bobby Roode. But it wasn't them. It's him. Magnus is the champion. Magnus said when people ask him why he turns back on fans, because the fans turned their backs on him, he said he will never, again, take a backseat to anyone in this business. And he intends to be the world champion for a very, very, very long time. And then out came Gunner. So Gunner, with his briefcase, looked like he was about to cash in.
On Impact Wrestling, Gunner, he's got the Feast or Fired case with a shot at the world heavyweight title. And Gunner's interrupted the coronation. Is he going to go for the match right now?
History hasn't been made. But tonight, my history begins. You see, I'm ready to fight, my friend. Right here, right now, I'm cashing this in for my world title match. Somebody ring that bell.
No, 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 no. Do not ring that bell. This is not going to
happen.
Oh,
yes, it is.
This is not going to happen. Do not ring that. Do not.
Well, let's do it. Let's have the world title match right now.
He's cashing it in. I mean, that's the way this works.
Oh, my God. Spawn, you're in trouble.
Well, there goes the chief of staff. Down goes EC3. And now face-to-face, Gunner, ready to cash in. The Feast or Fire casing against the world champion, Magnus. Here we go.
We need a ref. We need a bell. Let's do it.
The timekeeper, the bell ringer, intimidated by our TNA president, Dixie
Carter. And now look at this. Oh, man, just an attack here by EC3. Rockstar Spud hitting him with that eye pinch. Cracked him with it. Gunner just getting eaten up here.
Yeah, because of this outnumbered beatdown, Gunner being held.
You gotta nail him, Magnus. You can't. Who the hell is that? What? No.
What the hell?
H? No way.
It is. It's AJ Styles.
Oh my God.
What the hell is going on?
AJ Styles is back.
Oh.
Oh, now it makes sense. Remember the note. Remember the phone call. That was AJ. Good. Yeah. I'll see you tonight, Dixie.
Get him out of my ring. Get him out.
Yes.
Get him out of my ring, Magnus, now! AJ, get out of here! You are not welcome.
How dare AJ Styles rain on Magnus' parade, come out here and embarrass and ruin his party?
How can you say that?
That's not right!
AJ Styles, that's the original World Heavyweight Championship. AJ never lost that title.
Well, there's the world champion in my book getting out of the ring right now.
You do not need this. This is not going to happen. Come on.
This guy just shows up, AJ Styles, whenever he wants now.
Dixie, you want your intellectual property? Well, here it is. With me.
How dare you?
Hey, so do me a favor. Tell your lawyers to stop chasing me all over the world. Because I'm man enough to show up with this title right here, right now. But if you think I'm just going to hand it over to you.
Yes, I do. It is mine. Hand it. Yes.
Well, if you think I'm going to hand this over to you, well, you're dumber than you look, aren't you?
That's real funny. Coming from you.
Listen, I didn't come here because you wanted me to or made me. I came here because you screwed these people over. You screwed these people over when you made your world heavyweight champion a farce.
What did you say?
And I needed to come back here.
You called me a farce?
Don't need you.
Did you catch that? Did you catch that, Magnus? You're a farce. You know it. I know it. And more importantly, these people know it. But here's the truth. I don't care if you wear that belt around your shoulder, around your waist. You're not a world champion until you beat the world heavyweight champion.
Are you... Let me just make sure I'm getting this right. Are you challenging me, AJ?
Two belts, but there can only be one TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Hey, are you really going to listen to her? Are you going to let her drag you by the nose like some little baby? Is that what you're going to do? You're the world champion. Well, you know in your heart, champ, that if you want to prove that you are who you say you are, then you're going to have to accept now, aren't you?
You don't have to accept anything yet. Nothing.
Here's another fun fact. Here's another fact. These people are going to doubt you ever. A world heavyweight champion anyway. And I know what you're going to say. No, let me cut you off. I know exactly what you're going to say. I don't care about these people, AJ. Sure you do. Well, how about this? If you don't accept, you're going to doubt yourself as a world heavyweight champion.
You won't.
Hey, the deal's on the table. But if I walk out those doors, the offer's coming with me. The choice is yours.
No. This is not going to happen. No.
Let me make something crystal clear to you, AJ. You're not better than me. Not anymore. and you'll never be better than me again. And if you want me to prove it, fine. I'll prove it next week. You and me, one-on-one, two belts, one champion. What do you say?
Are you kidding? That is not gonna happen. It is not gonna happen.
Well, if it doesn't happen, boss, then I'm gone too. Because nobody is going to doubt me or my championship reign ever again.
Are you insane? Are you insane? This man doesn't even have a contract here. And you think I'm going to risk this much liability over him? You or anybody else over my dead body?
No, you're right. He doesn't have a contract.
No,
that's exactly why you're going to give him a contract. A one-night-only contract. You and me, winner takes all.
What are you talking about? What if you lose? I will have nothing!
Well,
nothing!
If you don't go for it, you'll still have nothing. And you know what? It's a gamble, yeah. But I'm feeling lucky. I feel like rolling the dice. So what do you say, AJ Styles? You and me, two belts, one true champion.
No!
Oh my God! Next week, Magnus versus AJ Styles?
This is gigantic!
Winner takes all!
I like that segment. I liked it a lot.
It was a very, very well done segment.
It was. I liked AJ's presence. I liked Magnus telling Dixie Carter, you have to give him the contract. You have to make it happen. Because if you don't make it happen, I'm gone too, and you will be left with nothing. Nice showing of a spine by Magnus. A little bit.
Yeah, it's something of Magnus is going to be the quote-unquote heel champion, but at least he's the heel champion with a sense of honor, I guess.
For the moment.
Well, it's something of this is the first reign. You know, obviously he knows that he has won it in a cloud of shadows. And it's something of there are two champions. He is aware of this fact that, you know, AJ is basically the people's champion. And then Magnus is what they're terming him, the official champion. And so to sort of get around that and make sure that his reign doesn't have that asterisk by it, he's willing to put the belt on the line and face AJ for both titles.
Right.
And if Magnus loses, well, then it's up to Dixie to fix it. But, you know, they're basically Magnus can get the upper hand. Dixie can do whatever she has to ensure that Magnus wins. Now the ball is in Dixie's court to ensure that Magnus does pick up that victory.
Yep. This was one of the better shows they've done in a while.
This really was. This was a very strong showing. They did a really great setup for Genesis in 2 weeks. I liked how they did the end with the coronation. I liked the setup for it. I liked the fact that you had Spud and EC3 started off. Spud is absolutely fantastic in the role that he's in.
He is. He's such a he's a scrawny little British dude, and he acts bigger than he actually is. It's tremendous.
It's amazing. And then Dixie was on, AJ was on, Magnus was on. I mean, everybody was really on in that end segment, and it was really well booked and really well done. And I really, really, really enjoyed it because it's like, oh God, they're doing a coronation. Oh God, it's going to be like the last 20 minutes of the show. Oh no, this is going to be horrible. And they really did a nice job. It was written really well.
Because it was four segments in one.
Yeah, it really was. And I liked how they had AJ show up where he literally just came out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, his music didn't hit or anything. He just literally came out of nowhere. And by the way, for the record, Oklahoma officially wins the Sugar Bowl 45-31.
Super Bowl, huh?
Super Bowl. Super Bowl!
So yeah, that's Impact. Looking forward to Genesis in 2 weeks because they'll be actually live. But next week, AJ Styles, Magnus, winner takes all.
My only disappointment is that they couldn't get AJ and Magnus on Genesis. I wish they had gotten AJ and Magnus on Genesis. It's like, even if you extend his contract for a week, or you pay him for a one-night-only gig, get him to Genesis so you can do this on Genesis. But that's just me.
That's just you. Genesis is actually live-ish on the 16th. You don't have spoilers for the 16th, Tommy. Just point that one out. That show's not in the can. They're actually taping it in Alabama on the 16th. Yeah, the 9th is taped.
Yeah, we all know what happens on the 9th.
Genesis is the 16th. It's live-ish.
Yeah.
Live-ish. It'll probably be an hour delay.
Probably, but either way, AJ will more than likely not be at Genesis.
No, but they because his contract ran out in December when all these shows were taped. Yes, yeah, Styles and Magnus next week, winner takes all.
Very, very, very nice stipulation, very nicely done. But on that note, I think we're going to take our final break of the evening, and when we come back, we've got... Well, our year in the review, 2013. Who did we think was match of the year, wrestler of the year? I guess you'll have to tune in and find out. And, well, we're going to talk a little bit about Daniel Bryan following the buzzards. What does this mean? Clearly Bray Wyatt is very excited.
Is Bray Wyatt on his period? Tune in and find out after the break.
I hope they broke out the good linens either way.
You're welcome, everybody.
You're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments...
Oh my God! Oh my God!
and the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Anyway, welcome back to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. And you know what? I have no words. Just go to Tweet of the Week. Here you go.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
And like I told you, I had that was the surprise. I had surprises, and that was the surprise. Just pointing
out. Again.
Hey, you should have saw it coming.
I should have, but I didn't.
Because it is indeed a small world, after all. I have like 2 weeks worth of tweets, so you might as well go first.
Yeah, I'll go. Corey Graves. Why does the Kardashian's mom get to make the matches? I should watch WWE with friends more often. Hashtag troops. Biggie Langston. Somebody tweeted him, my 9-year-old son told me Biggie is his real father. Biggie then replies, the boy is mine. Mail him to Stanford and send me his singlet measurements.
Yeah. Okay.
Renee Young. Oh yeah, like you would have stuck around if the Wyatt family creepily snuck up on you in a dark hallway.
Right?
Well, actually, I would have stuck around. Most normal people wouldn't.
You're not normal.
No. No, I'm not. Somebody tweets, Big E. Due to Camaro blasting the Big E entrance song, to which he responds, that reminds me, that'll be the lead track of my mixtape. Music to count to. And that's all I got.
That's all you got? Jeez, I need to start giving you some of mine.
No, I don't want your pity tweets.
You don't want my pity tweets? Alright. Nate Play 60 goes, all I want for Christmas is for Santa Claus to explain to me how Eli Manning has 2 Super Bowls. Someone asked Seth Mage, former WWE creative writer, what are we calling the Big Show Mysterio team anyway? 619 pounds? Meal Mascaris? WWE Universe. Yes, yes, we do. Reigns got Spirit. How about you? Yes, yes, we do. We've got it. Speared by Reigns. Hashtag SmackDown. Tom Brady's ego. December favored by 3 over the Cowboys today. Tom Brady's ego. Jingle bells, Rex Ryan smells, Romo threw a pick. The fake ESPN. Nothing cheers up a playoff dead team with a bench starting quarterback and a lame duck coach like a game against the Cowboys. Chris McKendry of ESPN. Dallas defense is a gift that keeps on giving. Stay greedy, Redskins. Not Bill Walton. Right as I said that, Tony Romo did something clutch. The football gods are laughing at us all. See, a positive Tony Romo tweet read on the show. And it continues. As I said, Tony Romo is clutch. I told all of you, he is the best, said Not Bill Walton. Dave Lagana, final result in Washington. Dallas is lucky. Washington is terrible. You can tell when these were taken. Not Bill Walton. Let's all be happy for Cowboys fans today. We all know they'll be crying next week after they lose the division once again.
Oh.
Tom Brady's ego. Tony Romo has been ruled out choking the rest of the season. Not Bill Walton. Tony Romo is out for the season. That means the Cowboys actually have a chance to win next week and clinch a playoff spot. Not Bill Walton. Cowboys season is in the hands of Kyle Orton. And Orton hasn't had this much pressure since Randy tried to end the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania 21. Not Charles Barkley. All damn, just when Tony Romo came up big at the end of a huge game, his back decides to choke on him. Dolph Ziggler. Laugh all you want. Big Show was just replaced Tony Siragusa as the face of trendy dude diapers. Hashtag Raw Christmas. Hashtag Raw Xmas Party. Dolph Ziggler. How can a dude who doesn't shower wear cabana clothes and a Jason Mraz fedora be so angry? Totes jelly. Hashtag Raw Christmas. Not Bill Walton. Justin Bieber is officially retiring. This is the best Christmas present ever. Thank you, Justin Bieber. Thank you. Not Bill Walton. Joe Flacco is showing how elite he really is. And by elite, I mean absolutely awful. Tom Brady's ego. The Jets officially eliminate the Super Bowl champion Miami Dolphins from the playoffs. The fake ESPN. Joe Flacco seen wiping tears and blowing nose with $100 bills. Not Bill Walton. The first game with where Andy Reid actually has perfectly clock management to end the game and his kicker blows it. Can't make this stuff up. Not Bill Walton. Mike Tomlin should have been on the side of the upright dressed as a ref to push that ball in. Tom Brady's ego. Cause of the Bills' death? Blunt force trauma. Because the dude Blunt was all over them. Tom Brady's ego. Sunday Night Football? More like the Dallas Cowboys funeral service. Spike Eskin. I won't rest until all head coaches have to wear full uniforms like baseball managers. Not SportsCenter. Yet another game-ending interception thrown by Tony Rowe. Oh, wait, that was Kyle Warren. Sorry, force of habit. Not SportsCenter. Source. Before Mike Shanahan was fired, he traded every remaining Redskins first round pick this century to the Rams for a dirty sock. Not SportsCenter. Matthew Stafford on Jim Schwartz firing. I had the rest of this tweet was intercepted by the Ravens Twitter account. Check for it there. Fake ESPN. Former Browns coach Rob Chudzinski getting paid $9 million to do what most of us would do for free. Get the hell out of Cleveland. Gregory Iron. I want IRS to confront Bray Wyatt about unpaid taxes next week. Hashtag old school raw.
I need this to happen.
She does. We're almost done of these tweets. Andrew Goldstein, now available on pwmania.com. Sorry, Fandango, but Summer Rae is so emotional on the outside because Big E has bigger tits than she does. Caitlin, the key to a successful New Year's resolution is to be the worst you possibly can be during November and December. Thus, any minor improvement is noticeable. the fake ESPN Jaguars to scout 13-week-old Lily the Basset Hound at Puppy Bowl as potential replacement for Chad Henne. Al Snow, breaking news, an explosion has ripped through the Lego factory, resulting in the world's largest game of Tetris. And finally, Frank Caliendo, the NFL may have a Lindsay Lohan weekend, hashtag multiple blackouts. So there you go, 2 weeks worth of tweet of the week.
You know, I'd just like to point out, you're damn lucky the Eagles won. Otherwise, you'd feel like an ass sitting there reading all those Tony Romo tweets.
Do you think I would have been right reading them if the Eagles lost?
No.
Exactly. But the Cowboys lost. What do you want? That's what they do in December. They lose.
Hasn't he suffered enough?
You asked the question.
And yet you take one more shot. Just for good measure.
Hey, it's the first shot I've taken on this show. This week. Besides the 20 tweets.
Oh. Yeah, as you say, besides, you know, the 20 tweets before this. Yeah.
Hey, it's not my fault. I didn't play the game.
You know what? You better be extra nice to him on Saturday.
Why?
He had to watch his team lose. Which so, you may have to do
exactly.
You know, over the weekend.
It's happening Saturday night. The game is on.
So, you know, if the Eagles lose, just pointing it out, you're going to feel his pain.
I know I will. But he can't talk anything because, well, it's not his team. His team lost. I'm just pointing that out. That's the facts. Unless he's jumping on a bandwagon. And if you're a bandwagon jumper, that's terrible. Terrible. Anyway, that was Tweet of the Week.
Yes, that was Tweet of the Week. And now, let's see, do we want to talk about Daniel White first, or do we want to do 2013, the year in review?
It's up to you, whatever you want to start with.
You know what, let's close with the year in the review, since it's technically January 2nd, and while we're still technically celebrating New Year's, even though we're both sober, let's talk about Daniel Wyatt.
Well, where do you want to begin?
Well, let's just jump on it. Let's talk about WrestleMania and the rumors surrounding WrestleMania, which include, you know, Bray Wyatt facing John Cena, and, well, The Undertaker supposedly wanting Daniel Bryan and what this could imply.
The Wrestling Observer is reporting that the Undertaker has requested to fight Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. Whether that will happen and whether they will grant his request, that is up for debate and consideration at this point. Since, well, by all accounts, many believed Taker was fighting Brock.
Right, and as we said earlier in the show, there are concerns over Brock's style and the fact that Brock may not be interested in working with Taker as far as working the match out ahead of time and putting that much time into the match. I think you could tell, at least as far as Daniel Bryan, a more interesting story than you could with Brock.
You could.
Especially if he's still with the Wyatts.
You could, in a way. If he's with the Wyatts, it makes for a different story, and I'm not sure it's a better story, because in some fashion, there's... When it comes to Daniel Bryan or WrestleMania, the last live show we did, we talked about another scenario for Daniel Bryan, and that was basically him fighting Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And that sort of seems out the window, at least as of today. It could change in a week or whatever. And on Monday, we saw Daniel Bryan join the Wyatt family. And that, well, led to many thoughts, many questions that have to be answered of why is he with the Wyatts and what's he going to do with the Wyatts?
Right.
What kind of look will he have and all that stuff? Will he be in his normal gear? Will he be disheveled? Will he have Bray Wyatt's winter white pants?
They're not winter white, they're regular white. Just pointing that out. But anyway, continue.
Okay, he'll have his regular summer... He'll have Bray Wyatt's summer white pants. Not his... Not winter white.
They're just white. There isn't summer white. There's winter white, and then there's white.
Why isn't there a summer white?
Because you don't wear... Okay, the way that it works is you wear white from Easter to Labor Day. And then from Labor Day to Easter, you don't wear regular white. You wear something called a winter white, which is an off-white or an eggshell.
But why isn't there a summer white?
Because they never invented one.
I say right here, right now, we invent summer white.
Everybody knows it is white. It will never catch on.
Anyway, what will Daniel Bryan look like on Monday Night Raw? And what kind of scenario will lead up to WrestleMania? Because if you figure it, there's a lot of people up... A lot of people have concerns about Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatts. A lot of concern. But at the same time, people are also wondering how long this will last. In my opinion, this could go anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 weeks. I think anything longer than 6 weeks, it's kind of a little overkill. But that's just me, in terms of him actually being with the group. Or 6, 7 weeks. Whatever it is, to between now and Elimination Chamber, I kind of, in my head, I see it sort of coming to a head, rather. Depending on as we started the conversation, where you go for WrestleMania.
Right.
So it's like, we all know that what's going to happen. Daniel Bryan's going to eventually snap. He's going to lose his crap, as it were.
Correct.
So it's, when does that actually happen, and what actually does push him over the edge?
Well, you and I had talked about this after the show before, where it's something of, if you followed Bray Wyatt, or you've kind of caught up on Bray Wyatt as far as kind of what he did in NXT, which a lot of what they're doing with Bray Wyatt is a lot of what he did in NXT. Basically, now they have recruited Daniel Bryan into the family, and a lot of what, as far as them bringing someone into the family is concerned, is that it's basically how far are you willing to go? What are you willing to give up to get what you want?
Right.
Obviously, Daniel Bryan is sacrificing his freedom at this stage to join the Wyatt family because the Wyatt family has something to offer him, or he sees something in the Wyatt family that they can get him to that next step. Whether it's, you know, the title, whether it's taking down the authority, whatever. You know, we don't know what the end goal is for Daniel Bryan. But it's something of, he now sees the value in the Wyatts. And he's joining them because he believes in the cause, or they've just beaten him down and broken him so much that he's giving up, which I doubt. Or he's using them.
See, Lindsay was trying to give me this scenario of that Daniel Bryan is using the Wyatts and manipulating the Wyatts in a way. I can't see him actually manipulating or outsmarting a Bray Wyatt. It would diminish the Bray Wyatt character in my head a little bit. That being said, they are going to work together to take down whatever the machine is, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, John Cena, possibly the machine. Because it makes a little bit sense where if the end goal is Bray Wyatt versus John Cena in a scenario of WrestleMania, that would be trying to take down the machine fully on the biggest show of the year.
Correct.
That being said, I don't see Daniel Bryan being with John Cena there. There have been rumors that would be for his freedom. That kind of doesn't make much sense.
Well, it's something of, for the sake of their family, which is John Cena, Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, and Daniel Bryan, because they are all, you know, Daniel is engaged to Brie, which is going to make Nikki his sister-in-law, and Nikki and John are in a complicated relationship where they're not married, but they're not just casually dating, to where I can see John doing that for Nikki to try and pull Brian out. And the only way to pull Brian out of the Wyatt family is to beat Bray Wyatt and force Bray Wyatt into a situation where he has to give up Daniel Bryan.
Right.
But I don't think Bray Wyatt would fall for that kind of thing.
No.
And I also can't see Daniel Bryan being okay with being, quote-unquote, saved.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. I can't see him just going, oh, yeah, you know, being okay with John Cena coming in and being Superman and trying to save him.
No, Daniel Bryan would not like that because he is a man on his own. That being said, to steer it a little in the direction of this, when it comes to Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt trying to make him fully part of the family, you mentioned the Bella. Well, outside influences are not what Bray Wyatt likes. He likes to have full control. And, well, we know they're engaged, so what would happen if Bray Wyatt told Daniel Bryan to break up with Brie Bella?
Again, that goes back to that whole how far are you willing to go thing. It's interesting because Brie Bella put out, you know, we were wondering what part Brie was ultimately going to play in this scenario. And it turns out that, well, they had Brie put out a tweet saying that, you know, she appreciates all the concern. She doesn't know what's going on right now. She doesn't know where Brian is. She knows he's okay. She trusts him.
But,
and they're just going to kind of move forward from there.
But how long can you trust somebody, especially when you have no control over what he's being manipulated to do?
Right. That's the question, is it's like, you see, here's the thing, if you're anybody and you put yourself in that situation where, you know, basically the person you're going to marry breaks down and decides to leave with a bunch of bearded psychopaths, no offense to the Wyatts, but that's basically what Brian did, is Brian gave up. And he left with Bray Wyatt, who is a known psychopath, who has so far just forged a path of violence through the WWE. You don't know where he is, you know, or he or she is. I would be freaking out a little bit. I would be wanting to know where, you know, if they took my significant other, where he was.
Right.
What was going on? Because it's like, you know, whatever they're filling his head with isn't a good thing.
Right.
And it's something of, you know, obviously the answer to the question is if the Wyatts were to force Brian to give up Brie, then that would obviously be the breaking point, because that would be, that's the one thing Brian would probably not be willing to do. But that doesn't mean that Bray Wyatt also can't use Brie Bella as a way to manipulate and control Daniel Bryan. Because that is obviously 100% Daniel Bryan's weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Without question, we've seen that in the past, and Bray Wyatt will use that to his full advantage if he has to.
Oh, yeah, he definitely would. And it's sort of one of those things where you kind of expect him to use Brie Bella in some sort of fashion to get what he fully wants out of Daniel Bryan.
So you say that you see this going about 6 weeks. I can see it going a little bit longer with the split happening, I think, after Mania.
Like, it could. It totally could. And it could even the match. You don't know what, you know, it all depends where what the Mania plan is. I can actually see the storyline in reality, going to WrestleMania or a couple weeks before WrestleMania where the split happens, and then they have the big match at WrestleMania. I can see that. But it's hard to tell where they want to go.
See, the thing for me is I know he's going to show up Monday, but I wouldn't have Brian show up Monday. I wouldn't have him show up this week, and I might not have him show up next week. It's something if I would actually hold Brian off TV till Rumble and just build that speculation and build really that wonder and that fear of, well, where the hell is Daniel Bryan? What's going on? Nobody knows where he is.
I'll do this. What if he's not there in the arena, but they do something taped in, you know, a promo, as it were?
What, they go back to the house?
No, just one of the darkened promos that Bray Wyatt does.
They could. They totally could. Where you...
You just see him in the background. You don't see his reactions to anything. Maybe he's just standing there with, well, a sheep mask.
Yeah, I would hold off on that. You know, it's one thing if he's in the background and he's just like sitting in a corner rocking. Like, that's one thing, but like, I wouldn't have him standing with the others yet because a week just isn't enough. Like, it's almost something of, I would have hold Dan O'Brien off TV for a couple weeks and then have him come back. And if you want to do the, like, he looks disheveled look, you have him come back in, like, the jeans. And then, you know, he's got a bunch of plaid, a plaid shirt or something like that, a plaid button-down shirt. And he's, you know, he looks like he hasn't slept. You know, his hair is all messed up. His beard is all crazy. Well, crazier.
Like, you said his beard, his hair's a mess and his beard's all crazy. Well, that's
Daniel Bryan.
That's
yeah.
Daniel Bryan.
But, you know, it's something of he looks more disheveled than he ever has. You know, he looks like he hasn't bathed. He looks like he hasn't been taking care of himself because they literally have just been, you know, assaulting him constantly with this ideology that they have.
Right.
To try and continue to break him and try to continue to induct him into the family.
Right.
Because I think it's something of, I just have this funny feeling because it's a cult that Bray wouldn't bring Brian out right away. They would do their best to get him under control, and then that's the situation of Brian's been gone for 2 weeks. And obviously, you know, that's where you could bring Bree into play.
I can see that.
You know, where something of Bree tries to get to Brian and something happens and Brian snaps a little bit and they have to beat him down and then they drag him off and they sort of run her off.
I could see that as well.
And it just, you know, basically is something of, you know, Bree keeps trying to get to Brian and she can't do it. And, you know, one way is, if you want to lead to the match between Bray and Cena, is you basically have Bray go to John and be like, look, you have to help. You have to do something.
Right.
You know, she could go to the authority first, and, well, she goes to
dum-dum-dum.
And, yeah. You know, Kane is unwilling to help his former friends, so she does the only thing she can do, which is she goes to, you know, her pseudo brother-in-law, I guess, John Cena, and, you know, ask him to help her. Ask him to help Brian.
That's possible, too.
Which then leads to John trying to pull Brian out of the Wyatts, and, you know, they all realize the only way for John to do that is to just beat down Bray Wyatt.
Again, more possible. Another strong possibility. Can't disagree.
You know, and as far as Brian facing Taker, if he's still with the Wyatts at that point, you just have Bray Wyatt essentially sick Daniel Bryan on The Undertaker.
Take down the machine known as The Undertaker and take down the streak.
Yeah, it's like, you know, basically take down the institutions, which are John Cena, The Undertaker, you know, the most hallowed things in the WWE, basically the foundations of the company. And if you take out the foundations of the company, then the machine that is WWE will crumble and fall.
Correct.
because there are certain people that you have to get rid of first before you get rid of everybody else.
This is true.
So
Monday will be interesting. Monday can't come fast enough for the both of us.
Right. It's something of they did that and they taped SmackDown Saturday.
Sunday.
So yeah, so it's something of SmackDown is pre-taped and there is absolutely no mention of this on SmackDown. So it was a complete surprise when it happened. And it's like, unless there's a pre-taped promo that was not aired, we have to wait until Monday. And I'm totally just like chomping at the bit to see what they do.
Right.
Because obviously they know they have something very hot. They're teasing it. You know, you have Bray Wyatt act like a little schoolgirl on his Twitter.
He is a homie. Hashtag run. I'm not doing that. It's the main time, so I did the first time. So, yeah.
You know, obviously Bray Wyatt has what he wants. Now the question is what are they going to do with Brian? Because the dynamic is how the other two react to it. And it seems like they're fine with it.
Right.
At least right now, because I thought one thing that was cool when they did this, and if you didn't see the way that they did it, is they stop on the stage, and Brian turns back, and he looks at the crowd, and the crowd is chanting no at him, and, you know, everybody's going, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you've got Bray behind Brian, and then Rowan and Harper in front of him on either side, and Brian, you know, revs up one more time before he just kind of looks down all defeated. And then he turns back to Bray, and Bray sort of leads him out. But as they get to the entryway, Rowan and Harper kind of sort of just descend on him, and they all surround him.
Right.
And it almost seemed like it was funny, because I was thinking about it. It's like, gee, it's the Buzzards.
They're all around him.
They're all around him, and they're descending upon their prey. And the Buzzards have what they want. They have Daniel Bryan. And now what are they going to do with him? Like, that's a $64,000 question in this whole thing. What are they going to do with Daniel
Bryan?
What
the hell are you going to do with Daniel Bryan?
Because it's like, that's the one thing in this entire storyline that we have not been able to figure out.
Right.
Is what is Bray Wyatt's motivation for going after Daniel Bryan in the first place? What does he want with him? Because Bray obviously wants something. Daniel Bryan can get Bray something that he either wants or needs for his cause, and whether that's John Cena, whether that's, you know, whatever, Bryan is the key to getting that.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. So, like I said, Monday will be interesting, to say the least, to see the start of this new story.
Yes, absolutely. I am absolutely ecstatic. I can't wait. I just hope they do something good with it. Like, game on, WWE. Game on.
You got us hooked. Now just, you know, bring it home.
Yes, bring it home, and bring it home in spectacular fashion, please.
Right, bring it home in spectacular fashion. And you'll hear our reactions live Monday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on the Raw Post Show.
Yes, so on that note, let's go ahead and do question of the night, since it sort of ties in with everything. Who do you think will be the breakout star of 2014?
Well, the reactions have been Big E, Lex, and that's the majority. We've had a Wyatt and a Roman Reigns thrown in there, but Big E, Lex, seems to be the breakout star of 2014 for the people. Where are you lying in this?
I want to say Bray Wyatt. I really do. Because I think they obviously have big plans for him. Somebody in the back is very, very high on him if he's in consideration to face John Cena at WrestleMania. So he could very easily have a breakout year. I don't know which member of the Shield, and it could be all three of them, but I'm kind of convinced that one of the members of the Shield is going to be the breakout star of the year, whether it's Rollins, Reigns, or Ambrose, I don't know. But obviously that split is coming, and we've seen, you know, Seth Rollins put on an absolutely fantastic match with CM Punk and John Cena.
Though CM Punk thought it sucked.
It was good, Punk. It was really good.
Punk is very hard on himself.
Yes, he is. Ambrose has been putting in fantastic performances, and Reigns is Reigns. And, you know, one thing we've been seeing, especially with Ambrose, is the development of his character as far as he's getting a little crazy.
A little bit. I'm gonna throw out Antonio Cesaro.
I can see that.
By the end of next year, Antonio Cesaro will be the a top tier player. Hell, Antonio Cesaro will have Money in the Bank this year. Bold prediction. Antonio Cesaro, Money in the Bank winner. There you go.
He's calling his shot now.
Called my shot. I'll be totally wrong, but call my shot. It's recorded. January 2nd. Calling the shot. Antonio Cesaro wins Money in the Bank. Now, that was question of the night, but now let's go back in time a little bit.
Okay.
Our review of 2013.
Okay.
So, where you want to start from the top of the list we made last night?
Sure.
And go from there. All right, so on WTR we did a list as well. We're going to go through a little bit here, just a little bit of our version. Female of the Year. There's been, like, there's the obvious pick, and then there's the not-so-obvious picks. I'll let you go first, and then I'll throw out some names as well.
The AJ.
What was that?
The obvious pick is AJ.
Right.
I'm actually going to throw Brie Bella out there.
This one brain thing. You picked up on where I was going. Good job.
Yeah, totally.
Good job.
Brie has stepped up her game tremendously. She's improved so much in the ring, and I've just been generally very impressed with her. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Brie, just on the TNA side of things. Taryn Terrell,
that's a good one, too.
Gail Kim.
Mickey. Mickey was fantastic this year.
Oh, my God, she was amazing.
Taryn Terrell was really good up until she got pregnant.
Gail was good as well. Gail is continuing to be good.
Yeah, but Gail's always been good. That's the thing. Gail's always been good. Taryn Terrell, leaps and bounds, improved. AJ's the obvious, and she should be female of the year. I'm going Brie as well. Is she just the improvement from her, and watching Total Divas, kind of sort of, you saw a different side of her, and you sort of kind of like that side of her?
I like Brie Bella a lot better than I did before watching Total Divas. Another one I think I have to throw out there is Trinity. Naomi.
Naomi, yes.
You know, she's been getting in the ring more and more, and has definitely shown that she can go in the ring.
Yeah, I think 2014 will be a bigger year for Naomi.
And Cameron as well. I think we're going to see a breakout for the Funkadactyls. They may be the breakout stars for the females of 2014. At least I hope they would be.
It's
Eva Marie.
God help us all. So let's stay on that. Breakout star of the year.
The obvious is the Shield. I mean, seriously, the Big E is a close second, but Big E was kind of a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro has stepped up his game, but that's only been recent. The Wyatts have been good, but again, the Wyatts came to the game late.
Right, and there hasn't been a star that broke out.
Yeah, and the biggest stars that have broken out are the Shield. They kicked in the door, and they ran with it, especially in 2013. I mean, honestly, the Shield took out the Undertaker. Seriously. Who can top that?
Yeah, you really can't top that. And I'm trying to think for TNA, Magnus would be one who's broken out over the last few months. But that's about it. There really hasn't been that guy. I get, well, I'll go differently. Cause I'll throw Bully Ray out there as a breakout star. Even though he was breaking out last year, he had a really good year this year as world champion.
I can see that, and I can agree with that.
But yeah, it's got to be the Shield in that manner, because they came in late in 2012, and they really, really stepped up their game in 2013, having the best match week in, week out on WWE TV.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's ever been a week where you don't mention something that the Shield did or said or whatever. And they have been a constant topic of conversation for a year just with everything that they've been doing. So yeah, I mean, for WWE, I would agree, definitely. The Shield for TNA, I can see Bully. Absolutely. TNA was hard because it's something of they debuted new talent, but they debuted them later.
Right. And then you also say bad influence. They had a good year, but they've been that way for a while. No, I'll go better. Joseph Park, breakout star of the year for TNA.
There we go.
Took me a minute. I was going around and around and around. Joseph Park, breakout star of the year. He really came into his own in 2013. Joseph Park. Go check out the interview at RecRadioShow.com.
And, of course, he ties it in with a cheap plug.
Well, that's what I do.
Yes, I know.
Comeback of the year.
Goldust.
Yeah. There really is no other. Like, we were on WTR, like, Rob Van Dam came back to WWE. That was a great run for him. But Goldust has had the comeback of the year. He had his moments. He's the tag team champion. He's had good matches week in and week out. Yeah, it's easy. It's Goldust, and I can't even say for TNA there's been no comeback there. It's Goldust. Comeback of the year for wrestling, Goldust.
Yeah, I don't ever remember Goldust being as good as he is right now.
It's been a long time since he has been. He's in shape. That DDP yoga does wonders for people.
Well, the DDP yoga, I think him going back out on the indies, him getting his life together.
That always helps.
Yeah, because that's the thing I think in past returns is he hadn't quite had everything together. And so something always tripped him up. And now it's something of he's got his stuff together. You can tell he has his stuff together. And he's able to do what he's really good at, and you can see how gifted he really is. Because he's doing stuff that, you know, at his age, he should not be able to do.
Right.
Not to imply that he's old, but...
But at this point in the game, people his age would be relying on things they've done in the past, and he keeps adding new things.
Yes. Absolutely.
Before we get to storyline review, we'll go best moment of the year.
Oh, that's hard.
There are a lot of good moments. You got the Shield powerbombing the Undertaker through a table.
The Wyatt debut.
You have Brock smash office.
Yeah, that was good. Punk play Whack-A-Haman on top of the Hell in a Cell.
Punk being handcuffed by Paul Heyman. I'm just getting the snap beat out of him with a Singapore cane. You have, you know, Shawn Michaels super kicking Daniel Bryan. You got... Dolph Ziggler winning the title. That was a huge moment when it happened. Like, there's been a lot of moments. There's been really a lot of moments. Old School Raw last year, great show. CM Punk laying out the Undertaker with the urn and dumping the ashes on him.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Like, and it's like, wow, they had some great moments. I can't really pick one. There's like, if I had to pick one, it would be Brock Smash. Brock Smash Office. Hell, the bloody brawl between Hunter and Brock to start it off.
Yeah, I can see that.
TNA, the one that really sticks out to me is Sting Bully when he ripped up the ring and did the pile driver.
Sting Bully,
just that moment where he rips up the ring and just gives him the pile driver on it. Yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah. I would have to say for TNA, when Taz turned. When nobody expected Taz to turn.
That was at the beginning of the year, wasn't it?
That was at the very beginning of the year, yeah, where Taz turned at the wedding, and then Aces and Eights came out to lay out everybody, and they laid everybody out at the wedding, and then at the next pay-per-view, Bully turned. And it's like we all were expecting, you know, it to be Bully. We were all expecting that. But what the cool thing about that was the way that they did it, where you had Bully win the World Heavyweight Championship, he turns, and then that next show, he did a monologue where basically he told you how he did the entire thing and how he set up the entire thing. And they went through and they showed you how he did it. And there were moments in that where you went,
huh.
How did I miss that? Like, I think the moment where Aces and Eights took out Jeff Hardy, and it was Bully that took him out under the mask, and you're like, how did I miss that?
Right.
Like, it's that kind of thing, because a lot of people were expecting it to be Hogan, you know, Sting, Dixie, all behind Aces and Eights, and it turns out it was Bully, which led to the fantastic heel run for Bully Ray. Which led to the Sting match, which led to so many other great moments. So, yeah, you know, it's like...
Yeah, I'll give the wedding angle. That was one of their better moments. You got all the craziness with Bad Influence as well to throw in there. Joseph Park, the goodness, and yeah. But, yeah, the moment, yeah, I'll go with that one for TNA, the best moment of the year. Easy.
I'll go with that one for TNA. WWE...
It's hard.
I'm kind of torn.
It's hard. It's like, you got the Wyatt debut, you got this, you got that. There's been a lot of good moments and stuff you can't even remember.
Yeah, it's something of, I don't know why, but it sticks out in my head, but the Shield coming into Raw on the helicopter.
Shield coming into the ring on the helicopter. From when they wrestled a house show and they legitimately came in on the helicopter right as their music, they got off the helicopter, got a ride right to the arena. And as their music hits, they can't get there. And they just went out.
Yeah, and said, you know, screw it, let's just go out and do it. There's that. You know, honestly, it's the Shield in the helicopter, and it's the Wyatt debut. Because the Wyatt debut was so anticipated, and everybody was excited for it, and the way that they built up to it, the way that they did it... was just tremendous. They waffled it a little bit after that, but that moment when you had Bray Wyatt go on screen and he delivered that very first sermon, and then they lit the lantern and, you know, there was the image of, we're here.
Right. And you also, every time the Shield early on would come out and it would just surround the ring, they surrounded guys like John Cena, The Rock, when they surrounded The Undertaker. Just those moments, too, that stick out. And yeah. Hell. For a WTF moment, Kane. He's Libertarian Kane now.
He is Libertarian Kane now, yes. We have Corporate Kane. How could we forget Corporate Kane?
So, yeah, that's that. For a WTF moment, yeah. There you go for that one. Storyline feud of the year.
I have to give it just to the Authority. Just the whole Authority storyline as a whole.
Yeah.
That's been so well done.
Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton was really good. The start of it, the really legit start of it, because if you really think about Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, it was like a 4, 5, 6 month storyline before even the title was involved.
Right.
That's feud of the year a little bit. You also got Punk and Heyman. Really good. Especially when it concerned Brock.
Yeah, the Brock Punk stuff was better than Axel and Ryback. And the thing about me, the only thing for the Punk storyline and the only criticism I have of it is I wish they had saved Brock for last. Like, that should have been part of the blow-off, is you have Punk versus Brock Lesnar, who is Heyman's monster, and then Punk gets Brock.
Right.
Or Punk then gets Heyman after he takes down Brock Lesnar. You know, it's like, Ryback was a nice twist. Oh god, we forgot about that, the proposal to Ryback.
Oh god, forgot about that one.
But, you know, it's something
that
I almost...
How dare we forget that?
How dare we forget that? Because that was genius on Paul Heyman's part. But, you know, it's something of my only criticism of the Punk storyline is I wish Brock had been last. Mm-hmm. Just because after Punk and Brock turned in that fantastic match together, anything he did with Ryback was just kind of like, eh?
Right. Oh, here's one. The Shield versus Hell No.
Yes.
How can we forget that? Because that dominated weeks of television. Daniel Bryan and Kane trying to beat the Shield.
Yes, that's true.
We'll throw that in there as another storyline for the end of the year. Can't just give you one. For TNA...
Aces.
Aces and Eights. Against the... more specifically, Bully versus Hogan. I'll go that far. Bully versus Hogan. It didn't lead anywhere, but the promo battles and all that fun stuff, when every time Bully Ray would go, Dad.
Right?
It just, you just saw that little cringe on Hogan's face whenever he said, Dad.
Yeah, that was really well done. You know what, I'm going to go with the heel Dixie storyline.
There you go.
Heel Dixie. You know what, for TNA, the breakout star, heel Dixie.
Heel Dixie. There you go.
Because, honestly, that is the most interesting thing they've ever done with Dixie Carter, and they need to keep it up because she is just a heat magnet, and she's so good at what she does. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the heel Dixie turn. Absolutely.
There you
for
go.
For TNA. But for, you know, storyline feud of the year, I still have to stick with just the whole Authority storyline, which includes Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. You know, the Big Show stuff. Because all of that was so well done. And it's still continuing to be good.
Right. Match of the year.
I gotta give it to the sixth man. Shield versus Hell No and Taker. Although Punk and Brock is pretty good,
Punk,
too.
I was gonna say, Punk and Brock is pretty good. Cena and Bryan was pretty good. Yeah, I'm going Punk and Brock. I really enjoyed that one really, really a lot. Hell, you could just throw out Shield versus Hell No right there. Matches
yeah.
of the year. But you can't just pick one. They were all really, really good.
Yeah, that's the thing, it's like the wrestling this year has just been so much better. Because it's like they've done so many memorable matches. It's like, oh god, I don't even know. But yeah, let's see what else. For TNA.
Bully and Sting was really good. There's been a couple there was an Ultimate X that was really good. There's been some really good matches. I just can't, like, off the top of my head, I can't think of them. But anything involving Bully Ray was really good. It sunk your teeth in.
I have to go with Bully and Sting just because of the stipulation, which was Sting never gets the title shot.
Right.
And that was because they stuck to their guns on that. They did it. And they stopped Sting from ever getting another title shot. Another one another good one for TNA would be when AJ Styles won the Bound for Glory series, which we all expected him to do. And then he basically said, screw you guys, I'm doing this for me.
Right.
He didn't go back to being the AJ that we knew. He was basically still selfish AJ.
Right.
So that was pretty good.
I'll agree. Taryn Terrell versus Gail Kim. I'll agree. There you go. That was really good.
Taryn versus Mickey?
I don't think that happened. Yeah,
happen.
Taryn versus Gail. That one. The first one. Hell, that was a feud of the year nominee. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was.
So yeah, now it boils down to Superstar of the Year.
Oh, this is hard.
You got Daniel Bryan. You got Bully Ray. Got Bobby Roode for another one. TNA. You got Randy Orton, honestly. His heel turn has been really good.
Yeah, the Shield.
Shield, but you can't, if you're just picking one, you can't pick the Shield. Who you going with? I'm Superstar of the Year. I'm going Bully. Daniel Bryan's the obvious. I'm going Bully.
For TNA, I'll go Bobby Roode.
Okay.
For WWE, I have to go with the obvious, which is Daniel Bryan. And I'm sorry, he deserves the accolade. Because you look at where he was this time last year, which was, I believe, in the feud with Punk and Kane with AJ. And you look at where he is now,
mm-hmm.
and how much he's grown since that time, and you can't not say that he's Superstar of the Year. You can't not look at the body of the work that he's done over the past 12 months and not say that he doesn't deserve that accolade.
Like I said, he's the obvious.
I mean, as far as the unobvious in WWE, I could go with Randy Orton. I could go with Punk. Because Punk's been another one that he's put in some fantastic matches.
Yeah, but he's lost a lot.
But he's, you know, to me it's like in that case, as far as Superstar of the Year, win-loss doesn't matter. Because I don't remember, honestly, win-loss. It's what he's done.
Well, because Punk's won every week on TV just about. On pay-per-view, not as much. Yeah, Punk is a good one. I'm going Bully Ray as an overall because he was like him and Bryan are 1A and 1B basically in my book. But I'm gonna give Bully Ray a shout out as it were for Superstar of the Year.
I think Bully was good. I think Bobby was good. You know, it's just something of. Bryan, I think Bryan has had an extremely strong 12 months because he went from losing the World Heavyweight Championship in 18 seconds to winning the WWE title at SummerSlam.
Right.
In a little bit over a year. So, you know, it's something of that amount of growth for a guy that was never supposed to make it, I have to applaud, and I have to give it to him.
Yeah, and only a Cowboys fan would pick Fandango.
How do you know that's the Cowboys fan?
Because I know it's a Cowboys fan.
I like how he's logged into the chat as himself, but yet
his thing timed out as himself and he came back.
Ah. Fair enough.
Only a Cowboy fan would pick Fandango. Spy that one out. Anyway. That does it for the 2013 year in review. It's been an awesome year, and I think 2014 with the return of Batista, return of Brock Lesnar, heel authority, Daniel Bryan, the Wyatt family. We're going to have a great year.
they're starting it off right. So, and, you know, we haven't even had the Mania build start yet. You know, the likes of Taker hasn't even shown up yet, and it's already an exciting year. I think my ovaries are going to hurt for the next 3 months.
Yeah, we have a new saying. You have no idea why we say it, but you're going to hear it a lot. What do the ovaries say?
As far as Taker, the ovaries are saying after Rumble.
Yeah. So it's a saying. It's going to be a new saying around here. What do the ovaries say? It's like the fox, but not really.
Yeah, so instead of, you know, doing whatever the fox noise makes, it's gong.
Gong. And the like. So yeah, there you go. There you have it.
So there is the 2013 year in review. There is Daniel Wyatt, and really, there's the show.
That is the show for this evening.
So on that note, I say we start to wrap up, and you have stuffs to pimp.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, who knows what the hell we're doing. All I know is we're going to throw ourselves at a party, I think, for Ace. If he shows up, I think he is, he'll be calling us from somewhere. He's going to be drinking Rob at some point. And as you heard earlier in the show, that means, well, stuff happens. So tune in to CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday at WTR Sunday live 10 p.m. Eastern with Mace, Omega, and the returning Spot Guy, I assume. Talking of the week in pro wrestling, I'll be there as well. We'll be back Monday night for the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern for the Rack, where we'll be talking. Here's a sneak preview about the WWE Network. Shh, don't tell anyone, but we're talking it. Just a little spoiler alert. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.net. Buy the official Rack t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show. And do me a favor, follow CB Radio on Twitter at CB Radio WTR. And like it on Facebook, Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. That's your cue.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, apparently I have you trapped in a room.
Apparently. I'm in the corner, usually.
Anyway. No, Pain Kittens is usually in the corner, just pointing that out.
Well, you sent me to the corner anyway.
Because you were bad. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Contact Us link, there is a link to my Redbubble store. If you would like my artwork, if you would like to buy some of my artwork, it is available for sale on Redbubble.com. All proceeds go to a good cause, i.e. me.
Yes, get the artwork featured on the WWE app.
Yes, Portrait of a Wyatt is available for sale. It was featured on the WWE app. It has been retweeted by Bray Wyatt, so please go check that out. Unfortunately, the AJ piece is not available for sale, but you can check that out on psychwarddesigns.com and also behance.net/Lynn's Ward. And of course, check out CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. Listen to The Rack, listen to all the other fine programming on this network. Where can you buy the official t-shirt?
ProWrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show and follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTR The Rack.
There you go. Also, last but certainly not least, please visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and of course, Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com. They are awesome. They have supported us for the past 12 months, and we very much appreciate your patronage and your support. It means the world to us. Also, a huge thanks to everybody that has listened to us over the past year. Hopefully, we can make 2014 an even bigger year. Not that that's possible. But we're going to try.
We're going to try our damnedest. And so, coming soon, we'll have announcements for the Wrestling Radio Awards. So stay tuned for that. That's coming in the next week or so. So we're going to need you to vote, people. Vote.
We're going to need you to vote. So tell your friends. Be prepared. We're going to be spamming the crap out of you. Just be ready for it.
You've been warned now.
So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!